Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. A STEM summer camp for high school girls at FGCU still has a few spots open. So as we wind down this school year, here's a unique opportunity for girls interested in environmental science. It's a couple weeks long. It's free, including food, and it's a hands-on look at real-life issues that we face here in Southwest Florida. Here to tell us more about it is the woman who put the camp together, Jo Moeller, who is an associate professor of marine science and geology. She's actually a paleoclimatologist. Jo, thanks for coming into the studio today.
Thank you so much for having me.
If you'd like to add your voice to our discussion, give us a call now at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCU. So, Jo, first tell me about this camp and about why you feel like it's important to target high school women to participate.
So the camp, the whole purpose of the camp is to engage young women in science, really just young women in STEM, so science, technology, engineering, and math. So we're bringing the girls on campus. We're going to be looking at samples, analyzing them using real research equipment. It's just a great opportunity to engage more girls in a highly underrepresented field.
And is this down at Vester Field Station in Bonita Springs?
Yes. So it's going to run both at our field station and on the main campus. So the first 3 days we'll spend at the field station. The girls will be going out on boats. They'll be collecting water samples, sediment samples. We'll be going out to the beach. And then we'll be bringing all that material back on campus, and they'll be studying it. They'll be running analyses on it, and then they'll actually do some presentations at the end of the two-week camp.
Wow. So it's a two-week long, and it's free. How did that happen?
Completely free. We were so fortunate. The Southwest Florida Community Foundation is sponsoring this camp. This is the second year that they're sponsoring the camp. And we're just so grateful for the opportunity, because it's really important for us to be able to reach all groups, socioeconomic groups of young girls. And this is just that kind of once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to do that.
Well, it's a great value, because summer camps, I've looked into them, and they're expensive. They can get pretty pricey. And this is one of those experiences that I think could, you know, help maybe shape a young woman who's interested in science.
I believe so. I mean, the next young woman,
Marie Curie, right?
Yeah, could be in this group. And we also provide transport, so we'll be providing transport from both Collier and Lee County.
Oh, that makes it so much easier too for working parents.
Yeah, we've talked to parents, and this is the feedback they gave us. And we also provide food for the girls and everything else. They won't need to bring anything with them except for some clothes that can get maybe a little wet and muddy.
And curiosity.
And some curiosity and enthusiasm.
So these young women are going to go to this camp and really get firsthand looks at how sea level rise and storms impact the land. And this really ties into the paleoclimatologist specialty of yours. I want to hear a little bit more about what paleoclimatology even is, because it sounds just incredible.
Right. So paleoclimatology is essentially the study of past climate change. And the work that I do here in Southwest Florida is mostly focused on prehistoric hurricanes. So I dig in the mud and look for evidence of prehistoric hurricanes. And then we use that information to try to better predict future climate change.
So what I've heard recently in doing stories about climate change and weather patterns and what we're dealing with is that we have a lot more frequent storms, more hard to predict the number of storms, more frequency. Have we had periods like this in the past? And they say that doing like flood models based on the last 100 years, it's not really reliable because things are changing so much now. Is this type of a change something that's brand new or something we've experienced before?
So I think the change that we're seeing right now has not been seen in the geologic record, in the recent geologic record. So we're talking, you know, at least the last 10,000 years.
Okay.
And so we have seen periods of time in the past where we've, you know, in our research here and just in Southwest Florida, where we've seen more hurricane landfalls. The medieval warm period, for example, which was about 1,000 years ago, ended about 1,000 years ago. But again, the changes that we're seeing, the actual rapidity in which sea surface temperatures are warming and the atmosphere is warming, and how much water vapor we're putting into the atmosphere and how fast we're doing that, is really affecting this ability for cyclogenesis to occur. In the Atlantic Basin and really in all basins, but in particular in the Atlantic Basin with the research that's been done there.
So are you going to walk these campers through your sample collection? And you were telling me before we went on the air, you go beyond the dunes where a storm surge would have deposited stuff from the sea.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really excited about this aspect of the research. So we'll be going out to some of these Barrier Islands, these really sensitive Barrier Islands, and the girls will be measuring the widths and the heights of the dunes to try to look at resilience against storms, future storms. But then we'll be climbing back into the lagoons that sit beyond that, and they'll be coring, and then we'll pull these cores out of the ground, and we'll be looking for these evidences of not just prehistoric storms, but, you know, storms like Hurricane Irma, Hurricane Donna in 1960. That's a really clear hurricane that tends to show up in the records.
So you're planning to cover plastics in water, too. We spoke with Dr. Terry Root recently on the show. She won the Nobel Prize with Al Gore for their work on climate change. And she was talking about sea salt and that microplastics are found now in 100% of sea salt samples. What kind of experience do you think you're going to have with these STEM campers to look at the plastics?
Yeah, so this is something that I'm really passionate about. You know, we do find microplastics in our water, in our food. It's pretty scary. I'm sure everyone's heard about microplastic. The girls will be taking water samples, and then they'll be filtering them, and then they'll be identifying the actual microplastic that's there.
This used to be a Publix bag, or no offense to Publix, but this used to be a straw, or this used to be...
Yeah, that's
something like that.
Yeah, something kind of like that.
I mean, you're not going to get that forensic on it.
Yeah, probably won't be able to go into that much detail. But certainly, too, what's interesting about that is just where they sample and whether they're finding different amounts in, you know, estuaries, you know, like the Imperial River, opposed to other rivers, opposed to kind of like in the bay itself.
So where things land.
Yeah.
So are you going to talk at all about algae and nutrients in the water?
Yeah. So that's the actual brevetoxin is a little trickier to get at, but we're going to be taking samples and looking at nutrient loading in the water column. And so I think one of the big goals of this camp is to try to engage the girls in some of the water quality issues we're having so they can understand the impacts that humans are having. So obviously the nutrients are what feed the blue-green algae. And so that's one of the projects that we'll be working on as well.
And this is all in 2 weeks.
Yeah, so they'll be broken up. It's not like every girl will do every single project.
Oh, okay.
But last year they all did the same project and it was great. Right. It worked really well. But this year we kind of wanted to diversify a little bit. And so we'll just see. I mean, as all science goes, you go out in the field and you see what you get. And then you sort of decide on the research projects going forward. And I really want the girls. I don't want to decide it for them. I want them to kind of decide what they're going to do with their samples and go forward in that direction.
It's like us with stories. You can't decide what the story is until you get there and find out what it is. Same thing with science, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So how do people sign up?
So they can go online to a website through FGCU. So it's just really simple, fgcu.edu/girlsstemcamp. And they can download the application and they can fill it out and yeah.
How many spots are there?
There's 20 spots.
There are 20 spots.
Yes.
And they're probably filling up, I'd imagine.
Pretty quickly, but there's still room and we'd love
to get
the girls out there to apply.
I love that the transportation is included and that the whole thing is free. It's hard to have an argument against it, really.
You know, we're so grateful. We're so, so grateful to the Southwest Florida Community Foundation. They sponsor a lot of activities like that. We're so lucky to have them.
I love that it's going to, with the transportation, that actually really does help a lot, too, with parents trying to shuttle people around and get the kids involved and stuff. Sounds like a really great, I want to hear how it turns out. And it would be fun to talk with some of the girls when they get done with their presentations.
They're always very happy to talk about their research afterwards.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have for today's show. But I want to thank my guest, Dr. Joanne Muller. She is the assistant professor in the Department of Marine and Ecological Sciences at Florida Gulf Coast University. Dr. Muller, thanks for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
You can learn more about the STEM summer camp for high school girls on our website, gulfcoastlive.org. And thanks to my earlier guest, retired Leon County Supervisor of Elections, Eon Sancho, and Susanna Goodman, the Director of Election Security at Common Cause, who talked with Mike Canary. If you missed part of today's show, you can can always hear episodes in their entirety on our website, gulfcoastlive.org, or you can subscribe to our podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts. Our show today was produced by Mike Canary and myself. Our director is Richard Chin Kui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.